Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
Beautiful sounds on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and that is called Out Music, My Prayer. And we're sitting on exactly 11 minutes, just after one on the line. I'm now joined by Dr. Semi Mugwena. And yes, I did promise the family that I'll be talking to him. We're talking about cancers that are affecting men. It is Men's Month. If you didn't know, now you know. I've heard a lot of men saying, no, we never get celebrated. It's only about women. And you know, in August, and I know that men are celebrated in July, they are also celebrated in October, but Men's Month is November, and so we have Movember as a result. And yes, as I said, the doctor is on the line. How are you doing, Dr. Semi Mugwena, this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Sis Kongile. Thank you so much for inviting me to the show, and greetings to the listeners.
I forgot to tell you that on Heart to Heart, they will kill me if you call them listeners. They are family. So welcome to the family, Dr. Mugwena.
Thank you so much, and greetings to the family. I apologize.
No, it's my mistake. They will kill me, not you. So you will take the blame, but I'll die for all of us. And so it's Movember, Dr. Mugwena. We are talking about men's health as well. And today we are looking at different kind of cancers that are there that are affecting men. You know, somebody might think, nah, men, we're only thinking of prostate cancer. And that is the one that stands out. But it's funny that, no, it's not just prostate cancer. There are many more cancers that are affecting our men.
Very true, Sis Pongile, and I think it's a big issue that I think we really need to tackle in raising awareness, particularly among our male, in terms of the various types of cancers that we have. And I think just maybe to put it in context, general, the research statistics from our cancer registry shows almost yearly there are almost 40,000 people being diagnosed with cancer.
Men
being diagnosed with cancer. Sure. And the risk as being outlined is every one in six males has been, proposed that they will develop cancer in their lifetime. Hmm. And this is even higher in black males, which is around one in nine. So every one in nine males who are black will develop cancer, and one in seven Asians, and one in three white. So the cancer is very broad, but also generally the cancer in males contribute 23.3% of premature deaths among males. And I think it's important for males to note this, and also to make sure that we take care of ourselves. One of the big issues that I think we are also starting to realize now is a lot of men now present with late-stage cancer, where, generally there's not much in terms of medically that we can do, except what you call palliative or end-stage sort of treatment and management. And I think that is very sad, because we know that almost between 30 and 50% of cancer deaths can be prevented. But then we still see a lot of men dying because of cancer, knowing that especially, generally in terms of statistics, more males are dying than females. And I think that's an issue that we need to be talking about and really discussing with our family, to say we really need to take care of ourselves, especially men.
Sure. Dr. Mugwena, I know you brought something into my attention, that most men are dying more than women, dying to cancer. And I'm thinking, with COVID-19 being out here, I think most of us have even kind of forgotten that there is cancer, not paying attention to this. And I think it's very important that in the midst of COVID-19, we also raise awareness on these and how men can also take care of themselves. But now, what is the reason that would make men be more, okay, why would we have more men dying to cancer than women? Could it be that because most men don't want to go see the doctor? Like, I mean, with us, I cough a little bit and tomorrow I'm at the doctor's. You know, I can't stay with that cough for more than a week without consulting a doctor. But with a man, he'd be like, no, give me this and this and this. And they make concoctions and they drink and they don't want to see doctors. Could it be that reason?
Precisely, I think the biggest problem and contributor in terms of increased deaths in males in comparison to females is, as I said, first late presentation. And basically, because one of the research that I looked at recently said almost 65% of males would not necessarily go to the doctor unless it is life-threatening.
Some even refuse, even when it's
life-threatening. Some even refuse. Mm. You know, they come when they are unconscious. They come when they are extremely dying. And I think various issues contribute to that. First is the attitude towards health-seeking behavior, you know, that males are less likely to want to go to a doctor. But secondly, I think it's perception of the consequences. Males tend to underestimate the consequences of their health in comparison to females. They feel alarmed and not and go. Females go straight away to the doctor.
Yes.
A male will want to see that lump growing up until it makes him uncomfortable. He's unable to walk or he's unable, then he will go. And the other problem, I think, is also our healthcare system sometimes tends to be, at times, not accommodative to males who mostly have, you know, work, family responsibilities, and they don't want to find themselves in queues, and sometimes they don't want to be examined or be seen.
Even the treatment, Dr. Mugwin, even the treatment sometimes that people receive at our healthcare services, I believe it has to change as well. But now, what are these cancers that we are talking about that are affecting our men?
Yes, I think we'll go in depth, but I think in general the top five, and I'll maybe mention the top six, but the top five cancers, specifically in South Africa, and this list is more or less the same globally. Number one cancer that is killing most men in South Africa and in the world is prostate cancer. And we usually say the risk is 1 in 17 men develop prostate cancer in their life, and it even becomes worse as they grow old. The second most common cancer in males is colorectal cancer, sort of cancer more of the large intestines towards your rectum. And unfortunately, I've also lost one of my, you know, spiritual mentor was a pastor who passed of this colorectal cancer. So it's a very touchy topic sometimes when I discuss this. And number three is also the lung cancer in males, and followed by what you call lymphoma, but specifically what you call non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. We'll go into detail in this with time. And then number five is bladder cancer, cancer of your bladder. And then I think number six is your testicular cancer. I'm mentioning this because a lot of people tend to think testicular cancer is more common in males in comparison particularly to prostate cancer. But in actual fact, prostate cancer is number one in terms of number of cases, but also in terms of people dying from it in terms of prostate cancer.
Sure.
And so these are the top five. It's prostate cancer, colorectal cancer, lung cancer, lymphoma, bladder, and then testicular cancer. So these are the most common sort of cancers that we find among males, five among males.
Now, okay, I know that we are not on testicular cancer per se today, but when I heard that there is something called testicular cancer, I was reminded that there are boys who would grow up and have, I don't know, what do you call that? Their testicles inside would be kind of twisted or whatever, and they would have to go do an operation. I forgot the right name for that. And I was asking myself, does it mean that if you have a son who would experience that, could it be that they can be on the line, you know, as they grow up to getting that cancer?
Yes. I think the important part, I think, about the testicular cancer is that it's one of the commonest cancers among the young males. So while the prostate cancer is in general the commonest among males, but if we were to go by age groups, so age group between 15 and 49, their most common cancer would be, second common cancer would be testicular cancer after prostate. So it's still very much common. Prostate cancer is more in the older age about 50, but particularly age group of 60 is more at risk. But testicular cancer among the young group, and I think as you rightfully mentioned, in the testicular cancer, the most or the risk factors that are common, if there are any family history with of a person who's had cancer, but also if, as you mentioned, those that who have had what we call undescended testicles, who might have to go for an operation so that we can assist their testicles to descend or create the path for them to descend into the right place. So they are also at a risk. And as I said, age group of those between age 15 and 49 are more commonly the ones who are affected by testicular cancer in comparison to the ones who are more than 50, where you find them mostly their prostate cancer. So it's important also, I think, for the family to know that you don't have to be old to have cancer.
Yeah.
So, there's different cancers in particular age groups that are more common. And as you just mentioned, testicular cancer is one of those at a younger age group that is more common.
Sure. All right, Doctor, today I know that we have a very short time with you, and as we are just almost about to wrap up, now, what is it that a man needs to be on the lookout for and start thinking it might be and I need to get tested? How would they present themselves, these cancers, on a man?
Okay. I think one of the things that I think we must just maybe mention quickly is the risk factors or common causes. So as I've already outlined, the age factor is a big issue. So the older you grow, the more likely that you'll have cancer. So one of the statistics that I found, they say 9 in 10 men are generally diagnosed with cancer from age 45, so 9 in 10. So it's quite high in terms of diagnosis of cancer as you grow older. But some of the risk factors that I think family should be really aware of is obesity. So generally 1 in 5 men would have cancer-related deaths. So it's very important that, you know, we deal with the issue of weight.
Obesity.
And aggressively so. Yes, and lack of exercise contributing to the issue of weight, but also particularly to your colorectal cancers also there. Smoking is extremely, extremely high risk of all the cancers that I've mentioned, and particularly lung cancer. So it's important, and even other cancers that I've not mentioned, smoking is one of the big, big risks. So and we know in South Africa currently that 4% of males still smoke. So I'm hoping that our family listening, they are not smoking or they are already on the recovery to smoking.
Mm.
Alcohol also contributes to 7% or to 8% of deaths of caused by cancer. So it's also extremely important. And I think the important part in terms of just looking at prevention, too, issues in terms of lifestyle, healthy choices, and I think we must encourage family to always make healthy choices. As I've mentioned, the risk factors, part of those is really to watch out for our weight, and maybe we're going to detail it as we go on. But also make sure that you exercise. Really, with smoking, there's no issue about you reducing or what. It's just to say stop. And the quicker you stop, the better you sort of improve your chances of not developing cancer, but also generally improving your health. And alcohol also to stop, because this generally increases alcohol chances of getting cancer of 5 other more kinds of cancers. So we really need to encourage family to make healthy choices, how we eat, exercise, and now screening. We encourage men between 15 and 49 to make sure that on a monthly basis they do self-examination, especially on their testes, because that's the commonest cancer that you find. Any lump, any growth, any heart, any abnormalities, any unusual changes must be reported. And,
sure.
And then generally
monthly
on a monthly basis.
Okay.
You know, changes with the issue of cancer is that changes start very slowly. and then at times then it increases faster. So the earlier you catch it, the better chances of you getting a proper treatment and getting rid of the cancer completely. Then I think the other important part is to encourage family to make sure that they go for a regular medical checkup, particularly if you have this some of the risk factors that I've already mentioned. You are obese, you are smoking, you're drinking alcohol, lack of exercise.
You're older.
So the older you become, the more regular your checkup should be. And you should just ask your doctor specifically, because sometimes if you don't, that might not be taken care of, that you are requesting for them to assist with, you know, checkup for specific common cancers, and particularly prostate cancer, which is very easy to do.
Sure. Now, can somebody on ARVs or do ARVs prevent one from having cancer? I have spoken to people who are taking ARVs, and what they've heard and learned about their treatment says it can deal with so many things in their bodies. It can deal with so many, what do you call that again? ARVs?
ARVs. The heart.
Yes, doctor.
Yes. Yeah, I was just saying there's not really currently a conclusive study that would say that ARV lowers the risk of cancer.
Okay.
But because HIV on its own exposes you to so many infections, with some of them are sort of predisposition for you developing cancer. So generally, it might assist in lowering the risk of you developing particular cancers, but not necessarily the ARV themselves having a direct effect on lowering sort of the risk. It's just that we know that particularly one of the number seven on the list that I did not mention is Kaposi sarcoma in males, and that usually is found with people with HIV, and it's sort of a skin cancer. So they most likely going to have less chances of developing Kaposi sarcoma if they are on ARVs.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Mara Tabaya, Jiman Dr. Mukwena, it's so unfair. We want to grow old and not even worry about cancer. What makes it successful, or what makes older people becoming prone to cancers?
I think part of it, Sispongile, is because understanding that cancer is generally the abnormal growth of the cells. And depending on the predisposing factors or issues that would predispose you to developing cancers with age, you get more exposed, and the changes become more obvious and more frequent as you grow sort of old. And also, generally, some of the genetic makeup start showing up in terms of that as you grow older. But I think the bigger part is the exposure that, by the time we discover cancer, the exposure has been there for quite a long time. So in the younger generation, the exposure would have been less, and their sort of activity would already prevent them from developing cancer. We found that their weight is less, they exercise more often, and they are not smoking and they are not drinking, especially at that particular age. But because some of them start drinking and smoking, then the effects only show in the old age. So that's why it seems as if it's only in older people, but it's just that you are seeing the effects as you grow older.
All right, then. So we're going to park it here today, and I believe that as the month goes by, we will expand, go deeper into each care, even open the lines for family to can ask Dr. Mukwena questions. Your closing statements for today, Dr. Mukwena?
Thank you so much. I think it's just to remind family, especially our males, that the issue of cancer needs to be taken care of seriously.
Yep.
And that also most of the cancers are preventable. So it's important that we start as early as possible. But I must also request the females to encourage their males.
Yay.
I think the encouragement comes from the females. it more times holds power. So just to encourage them to really go for frequent screening and testing, and to support them, especially those that are already diagnosed and so on, so that they can complete and they have complete healing. So I think it's just for us to be aware and to be really careful that this thing can be preventable if we start taking care of ourselves.
Hey, Mara, Dr. Mokoena, ke bona yanong, we're going to have wives saying, I'm going home. If you're not going to the doctor, I'm packing up my bags. I'm going home. Hey, bontate, Mara. But yeah, I believe women can also play a part. For family members seeking to ask questions to the doctor, is there a way they can get hold of him?
If there are any particular questions, my cell phone number is 0825435708, 0825435708. I prefer WhatsApp because most times I'm in meetings.
Yeah.
But generally, I'm on Facebook as Semi Mokoena, the same in my Instagram. So family can ask questions inbox anytime if it's okay.
Thank you so much for this moment, Doctor. I hope that our men and wives and sisters and family have got something for themselves. A quick one. I'm a mother as well. My son would be 15. My son was diagnosed with Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Should I be checking his testicles because he can't do it himself, diagnosed with autism and Duchenne muscular dystrophy from next year?
I think you can, but generally that would be because he would probably be less exposed. But I think as he grows older, you would probably be a bit more careful. So with him, I would say you can start from probably age 30, and for, maybe you can start now just for as a screening baseline, but then later around 30, 35, then you can start looking. But he's less at risk in comparison to other males.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be a month-to-month thing with a 15-year-old. All right. But we can teach our sons to do this. And Mama, you tell me this. A dad should be telling me this, not you, Mama. So, but we should be teaching them on how to test themselves and to check themselves as well.
Definitely. I think we should be teaching them. And maybe when you talk about testicular cancer, we'll just maybe share with family just the easier way to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a difficult thing. Just like we teach with women, self-breast examination.
Yes. All righty then. Thank you so much, Dr. Mokoena. We'll be continuing with you and taking one at a time. May God richly bless you. Have a beautiful one.
Thank you so much. Bless you and blessings for the family.
Bye, sir.
Bye.
Our family, you got those numbers, 082-543-5708. It's 082-543-5708. And the doctor says, please, WhatsApp, because most of the times he is in meetings. I'm so sorry for family members who are saying they cannot get hold of us. They can't hear us. Yeah, I know that I have some, especially families that family members that are watching through Facebook. I know that I'm cracking a lot today because of network, but we'll get it right. We'll get it right. We love you so much wherever you are. Thank you for letting me. And I will make sure that our IT specialists are aware of it as well, and they can help us and do something about it. We are now going to be connecting to Pastor Letwell Zabani, and we're talking about dealing with in-laws. Oh, okay. All righty then.
Faith, hope, and love. Experience victory in your life on 657 AM.
If you need prayer, please send your request to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za or WhatsApp 067-429-7564 or go to Radio Pulpit website on www.radiopulpit.co.za.
It's good for you as our listener to know about Radio Pulpit's activities. Or do you need advice in an area of your life? Then why don't you log on to www.radiopulpit.co.za. Here you can talk to us, listen to us via live audio streaming, and there is also other reading material for the soul. What are you waiting for? Visit the Radio Pulpit website right now. www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.